I'm going to call this message, The Gift of Understanding. The Gift of Understanding. I want to read a scripture. It just came to me as I was sitting here, and we're familiar with it. I've quoted it a number of times. It's in Daniel 11:33. And anyway, and it just dawned on me. Now we have the type of a system today, this message could be heard by anybody almost anywhere in the world. And it's not they're going to, but God is the one that he could have people listen to it anywhere. And so in Daniel 11:33 it says, "And they that understand among the people shall instruct many." How many are we talking about? And they that understand. How many are we talking about? How many does it take? They don't take very many today. That's the point. So if God can find some people that understand, He will use them. You know, I prayed this morning, and I have been praying this, but I prayed. I said, "Lord, you spoke through the prophets. You can govern what I say, so I speak the truth. That's what I want. I don't want it to be me. I want you to speak the truth." And so, in the message right now, Lord, let truth prevail. Let it come forth. And having said that, that thought, you know, came here and said, you know, how many does it take? And it took one man without the media, without the type of things that we have today where we can speak something and have it broadcast all over the world. One man turned the world right side up. I have a couple of things that I just want to, I write these down during the week, and so I want to just speak them. But there's a scripture, and I'm not sure where it is. I heard it, but it says, "All of their works they do." Now, all of their works. It doesn't say their work. It says all of their works they do so as to be seen of men. What happens if God can find a people who all of their works they do is to be seen by Him? What do we got? Now, since the gospel message begins with repent, it means then that as far as God is concerned, okay, now think. Jesus, John the Baptist started and said, "Repent." Jesus started out by saying, "Repent." If that's the case, now you just think, do some thinking. It means then that God considers everybody guilty. And so, like I said, in the courts that we have today, people are innocent until proven guilty. But as far as the scriptures are concerned, everybody's guilty until God can make them innocent. See? God has concluded that all are under sin. There are none righteous, no, not one. Now, God has created men so as to trust Him by faith, and not to trust Him through their limited intellect. We can't trust God through our mind. So when the scripture tells us that by faith we understand, or through faith we understand, that is a major, major thing. And I am just beginning to get a glimpse or a little bit of an understanding of what that's talking about. An occasional Bible study or Bible reading will certainly have an effect. It won't hurt you. It's going to do some good, and occasional so forth. However, if men want God's blessing on them, now we got to think about it from the perspective of the Word. God's Word. If men want God's blessing upon them, then a nonstop intake of God's Word will cause God to draw nigh to them. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. How do you do that? Blessed is the man who meditates on my word day and night. So what happens to those then that begin to take in God's word nonstop? Do we still have our weaknesses? Of course we do. Do we still make mistakes? Of course we do. But there is something, just like, did you hear Candy's testimony today? You know what? Hopefully she can maintain that, and her and Pablo. And because there's a lot of battles ahead for all of us, but she said that it got to the place because they have been, with a positive thing, they've been listening to the scripture, they've been whatever else. It's like, it seemed like everything they ask God for, they get it, it happens. You know what? It's supposed to. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask whatever you will and it will be done. Believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is that true, or did God just throw some, a couple little lies in just for make us feel good? I'm being facetious. Though that's true. We just haven't appropriated it yet. We just haven't we haven't come into that place. But you know what? I am convinced that we can. See, the word of God's truth within men will slowly change men's lower nature. And even though I used to look at Isaiah 28, where it says line upon line and precept upon precept, and I thought that's wrong. That's not good. You know what? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. We're slow to understand. We're slow to learn. We're slow to take things in. A word of the word of God's truth, taken into our system, will slowly change our lower nature, line upon line, precept upon precept, into the divine nature of God's higher thoughts and God's higher ways. It will slowly change our insides. My insides are being changed. Your insides are being changed because you're listening to God's word. And Ken, this morning, you made a profound statement, and I was glad you did because it needs to be emphasized on these tapes, whoever's listening to them. The listening and the hearing of these testimonies is a good thing. But if people are not listening to God's word, there comes a stopping point. It won't benefit them unless God's word itself is coming into their system as well. And that's major. Everybody needs to be listening. You want a benefit? You want God's blessing? You got to listen. Remember what Jesus told Martha? Martha, Martha, you are cumbered about with so many things. She wanted Mary to help her, but Mary was busy listening to Jesus, listening to his word. And she says, but Mary has chosen the good part. If there's a choice, that's it. She chose the best part. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. If God, you know what happens when you listen to the scriptures over and over and over? Your mind, after a while, gets focused on God. My mind is getting focused on God. I've never been here before. Have I reached some great plateau? No. But it's changing. My whole system is changing. It is because of this word. I have come to some strange conclusions, and one of them is when Peter said in 1 Peter 1:23, he says that we are born again not by corruptible seed, not by false doctrines, not by private interpretations. I mean, that's pretty what a corruptible seed is. But we are being born again or changed by the word of God. The new creation, see, the old creation was created by God's word. Through faith we understand that God created, or that the worlds were formed by the word of God. Man was created by the word of God. And so the new creation is created the same way, but it's a little different because the word of God now is already here. And now, by taking it into our systems, we develop the divine thoughts and the divine ways of God. We develop it. My thoughts and my ways are changing. I'm getting more determined, you know. And the thing about it is, when you get to be this age, you got a lot going for you. One of them is, I don't have a lot of time. I want to go to heaven. I want to see him. I want to end up on the right side when I die. So whatever it takes, and it's like I said, Lord, whatever it takes, but help me to be ready to handle it, whatever it is. In John 1:18, it says that no man has seen God at any time. And then in Exodus, I want to say 33:20, I can't read my own writing, when God spoke to Moses, he said, no man shall see me and live. And then in 1 Timothy 6:16, it speaks of God and says, whom no man has seen or can see. So that's another place, 1 Timothy 6:16, where God, whom no man has seen or can see. And yet, in John 14:9 and 10, Jesus said that to see him was to see the Father. And as such, the poem that I learned when I was in, I may have it in my message too, I'm not sure. When I was in grade school, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, that has come back to mean something for me that it never meant. And here's what the poem says. It says, no man has seen the wind. No one has seen the wind, neither you nor I. But when the trees bow down their heads, the wind is passing by. Fantastic poem. I don't know who came up with it, but if that does not describe God, no man has seen God, neither you nor I. But everything, the wind and everything that we see, is evidence that God is here. And so, Jesus let us know that what we see God, or the visible things that we see, is the only evidence of God that we will probably ever see or need to see. And I think, how dumb are we? I mean, really. I have seen so much evidence of God's existence, and yet, like Philip, men aren't satisfied until they can see God, which would cost them their life. I don't want to, it would be good, but I don't want to go that way. In Isaiah 65:16, God is twice referred to as the God of truth. Isaiah 65:16. Okay, the gift of understanding. It says in Ephesians 5:14, well, it says, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Or, God will open your understanding. To have the understanding opened is light. And such an understanding that God will give us is a gift which God literally, liberally gives to babes and sucklings, and at the same time, he hides from those who trust their own ways and their own means. And in Ephesians, or in 1 John 5:20, we are told that God's Son, we are told that God's Son has come so as to give us understanding. That's what it says. 1 John 5:20, it says God's Son has come so as to give us understanding. However, the understanding that he gives us is the understanding of God's will. We will begin to understand what God's will is. Plus, the Old Testament prophets gave us the will of God and gave us the picture, which Jesus came so as to make plain to us. See, the understanding that we need is the revelation of what God meant through the prophets, which God revealed to us through Christ. The prophets had the picture. Only nobody could get it. They couldn't understand it. It was vague. It was like parables. It was Yeah, like a parable. It's, the whole Old Testament was like a big parable. And so we need the revelation of what God meant through the prophets, which God revealed to us through Christ. However, unless our system is supernaturally opened up to Christ, we will never really understand the truth anyway. See, the thoughts and the ways of God are set down or written down throughout the Old Testament by men that chose to do so. See, it says they were holy men of old. And then God brought forth a son, a prophet son. I'm going to bring a prophet like unto you, Moses. A prophet. That really doesn't speak of a deity. It doesn't speak of a God. He said they were like Moses and yet greater than Moses, who was the greatest of all of the Old Testament prophets, and used this only begotten Son to go beyond the Old Testament prophets and as thus to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. And such Christ became the truth of God, walking around as a man. So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. See, when God blesses those in Psalm 1 who meditate upon His Word day and night, would that not be all of the time? If you meditate, that's all of the time. You don't really have a lot of time left. And then exactly, how does God bless? Well, some people don't want the kind of blessings they get. Yeah, well, the ones who don't consume His Word day and night might not get it. However, those who do enter into a place that we are beginning to call, and that was a good explanation of the dream that Corky gave us this morning that he had. But from Twyla's vision that she had, I call it the white room. And it doesn't have to be very many people. But what is happening to us is profound. This is a profound thing. And in this place, the scriptures are beginning to make sense in a way that we have never, ever known. In Romans 10:17, it tells us that faith comes through the intake of God's word. That's what it says. Faith comes by hearing. And in Hebrews 11:6, it tells us that without that kind of a faith, God can never be pleased. And so this is a major part of the reason why God blesses and how God keeps blessing those who listen. And see, real faith comes, and this kind of faith pleases God. And first, in Genesis 1:1, it starts out by saying, in the beginning, God. And through faith we understand. I'm saying that we have, even if that is not a complete sentence, that is a complete thought. In the beginning, God. And it doesn't mean that was God's beginning. But when things began, God was the one that began it. And so that is a complete statement. And in the beginning, and just as the first four words of Hebrews 11, through faith we understand. See, faith is both substance and evidence. That's in verse 1, Hebrews 11:1. And verse 2 tells us that by faith the elders obtained a good report. By faith, and then of course that whole 11th chapter of Hebrews is talking about the faith and how it works. And so while the natural mind usually learns more from natural men. See, I've learned a lot from natural men. Not necessarily right, but I've learned a lot. God's real people learn from God in a supernatural way that I think we can call faith. We learn through faith. Through faith we understand. Does that not mean we are learning? If we understand, doesn't mean we're learning. Through faith, we understand. And so, I'm not so sure we ever get taught unless we are taught by God through faith. See, men can teach the Bible day after day and still not teach the truth. And the reason being is because there is no truth just because men want to be truth or are taught something that they're taught is the truth. It doesn't mean it's the truth. And been there, done that. I've done it, but I've heard a lot of it. When 2 Timothy 3:7 tells about ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, those people are under the impression that what they are learning is the truth. Well, we're going to teach you a bunch of lies, so you just know that nobody's going to tell them that. Now, if you want the truth, here's the truth. And so they are ever learning something that somebody says is the truth, and it still is not the truth. In fact, how many times was I taught something false, and yet I was convinced that I was right? How many times has it happened? I've lost count, because I was never taught what the foundation for truth really was and is. God had to do that himself. You want to find me? You got to look for me where I am. You know what? As crazy and simple as that is a major, major thing. You can only find God in his word. But you can't even find him in his word by listening to men. The Holy Spirit has got to get involved because God set him up to do that. He sent him to do that. We can only be sanctified through God's truth. We can only be made holy through God's truth, which is the word of God that men don't tamper with through private interpretations or what. It has to be without men getting tampering with it. However, only the few that find truth actually know what I'm talking about, or as the things of God are a mystery. See, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery. You know what? The greatest mystery of all is truth. Pilate said to Jesus, he said, "What is truth?" You know why? Because it didn't matter what Jesus said. Jesus said, I was born and sent to bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. You know what that meant to Pilate? Nothing. He couldn't knock into it. You know what it had meant to me over the years? A little bit more, but not much. It's only now that I'm beginning to see that the truth is what God really meant by what he said. So as obvious from the scriptures, who God is and who the Son really is, the percentage of churchgoers who understand this in any way by faith is probably at an all-time low. Now, I don't know, I can't say an all-time low, but it's pretty low. And the reason is because since a true understanding of the identity of both the Father and the Son, it's an eternal life issue. And this is life eternal, to know the Father and the Son. So how important is this? It's eternal life. The great deceiver has confused the vast majority of churchgoers until very, very few even have a clue as to the identity of God and the Son. And so men are taught to look in the wrong places for God and his Christ, and consequently, very, very few ever find what God readily has prepared for them. God has set it up for us to understand and so forth. But very, very few will ever do it. Unless I come across as a little too brassy and bold, except for the great mercy of God, I don't think I could have ever figured out that there is only one right place to look for God. I don't think I would have ever figured it out. God had to circumvent me. He had to interrupt my thinking. And see, there's only one right place, but there's a lot of dead-end roads. There's a lot of places you can look, you'll never find God. And of course, it seems easy and makes sense now, what we're doing, but that is because faith is making it that way. Faith is changing something. Since we are flesh and have learned to trust the flesh, we think that we have to see in order to believe something. However, we have a major dilemma. God is invisible, which means that no flesh, or at any time ever, has seen God or can see God. And so, God has said, You're only going to be able, okay, here's a dilemma, here's the understanding. You're only going to ever be able to see me through the things that you see me do. That's all that Jesus said in John 14, 9, and 10. Philip, have I been so long time with you, you don't know who I am? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Can't you understand that it is the Father that dwells in me that does the works? There was an explanation. There was a revelation. How long did it take me to begin to see this? One morning, I began to understand why it is necessary to have faith in order to please God. God is invisible. But to the natural man, now I've said this before, but here again, seeing is believing. But God, who created all things that exist, has never ever been seen by natural man, and yet we all see God on a regular basis. And Jesus told us how and why. When I was, I just mentioned I did have this little poem written in here in my message. All of these years later, I realized that that poem was an explanation of John 14, 9 and 10. You know, who has seen the wind? See, you can see the Father, who is invisible, through me, Jesus said, who can do nothing in and of myself. It tells us in Romans, the first chapter, I'm not sure what verse, but it tells us that the visible things that are around us are the evidence of the invisible Creator who made them. Whatever we see is the evidence. You want to see God? Look around. Everything that we see points to God. So when you see the things I do and hear the things, the words that I speak, and all of a sudden, that has become enough for me. All I need, and as such, through this blessing of God called faith, I believe that by the words that God spoke, all things were created, and by the words that are still there, God is going to create men into His new creations like Christ. See, Christ, the Word was made flesh. So what we have in the Word walked around on 2 feet. But it's not like we think. And so, the bottom line here is, the essence of this message is that somehow, by the mercy of God and the power of God's unseen Spirit, I am beginning to understand. To them that understand. You know what? I only understand that I'm beginning to understand. I understand. I'm beginning to understand. Do you follow? Does that mean I understand? I'm beginning to. And I can't remember. That was a fantastic statement that you made this morning, Ken. I think we were just standing around talking about it. I can't remember what it was about. You made a statement. But anyway, and as God's real kingdom develops within men without their understanding, observation, somehow, the Daniel 11:33 understanding that Daniel prophesied about also develops in us without understanding or without observation. And kind of ironic, however, and bear with me, as all things were created by the Word of God, and when it says in Peter, being born again, new creations, faith which only comes by hearing God's Word of truth causes me to understand that only by God's Word of truth can new creations come forth. So what we're doing, when God blesses those who meditate on His Word day and night, there's a reason. There's lots of reasons. But one of them is, that will create His new creations that He wants. In the beginning, God spoke the Word and Adam was formed in a natural person. But now, by the intake of this Word in our system day and night, we will be created, recreated, or created into new creations. And all things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. That's what God's word will do. And so only by God's words of truth, by God's words of truth, only by God's words of truth can new creations come forth. And so when and if the devil is able to feed men with perverted and corruptible doctrines, private interpretations, then men will be deceived into thinking, like eternal security, that they may have something, that they have something that they don't really have, and may end up with the weepers and the wailers on the day of judgment. See? And when we are taught falsely, and are taught that we're doing it the right way, we have truth, then that's called eternal security. And see, when Daniel prophesied and said, they that do know their God, or they that understand, it causes us to realize that both are rare exceptions. And they that do know their God, or they that do understand, those are rare exceptions. And not too many really know God, not very many actually understand. And why? Well, very, very few are going to really seek after God with all of their hearts, and not very many are going to willingly receive a love for God's truth and meditate on it, God's word, day and night. Not very many are going to do that. I wish that wasn't true, but it is. Not a lot of people are going to do what you're doing. That's why we have a handful of people. And even though I could get tarred and feathered for what I'm about to say, probably the devil's biggest tool that he uses to prevent real God knowers and truth understanders, that isn't such a word, but to prevent people from coming into truth, is today's widespread array of form of godliness churches. We don't have a form of godliness church. We got tons of them. They have a form of worship of godliness. They deny God's power. And we say, well, but a lot of the Pentecostal churches, they pray for the sick and they believe in God's power. You know what? Not to the point that God wants us to be. You know, we're supposed to be like Christ. Christ walked without fear of men, without concern. And remember what the Jews, they kept telling him. They said, you'd have no regard for men. You know why? What they were relating him to? The prophets. Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and these guys had such a relationship with God that they had no fear of men. It didn't matter what people did to them. They used to, Jeremiah would tell people what God told him to say, and then they'd lock him up. They made him stand in water. I mean, they tortured him, tormented him. They'd let him out. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, and he said he was tormented so much he made a decision. He said, I'm not going to speak God's word anymore. Then he said, but the word of God was like a fire in my bones. So he'd preach it again. They'd lock him up again, torture him some more. He's glad today that he did what God told him to do. See, the new and hungry ones that God calls are often thrown as little lambs into a prideful church setting that stopped letting the Holy Spirit lead them years ago. They're thrown into this thing. Oh, it's got to come to our church if we ever have good services. What's that got to do with it? If the devil has ministers and has things, could he have good services? And so instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them into more and more truth, they heard as much as they wanted to hear, and then they built around what they decided was, quote, all truth. Did we do that? Of course we did. And as I once heard, isn't it a good feeling to know that you have the truth? I heard a minister say that one time. And if that were just an isolated case, it would not be such a big issue. But you know what? That's not isolated. We've been there. However, because of the big pride factor within the lower nature of so many, thousands upon thousands foolishly pride themselves on the great amount of God's truth that they think that they have. Oh, we have the truth. Oh, we have the truth. You know how we can prove that we have the truth? Look at how big our organization is. And when Joanne and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, they said, we're Lutheran, we're not Pentecostal. You need to go join a Pentecostal church. And the argument was, this church had been around for centuries. So we have stood the test of time. You know what that's called? Ignorance. And so by not knowing God's word, as they think they do, they miss the fact that God delights in hiding the truth from people that are like them, who think they know everything, see? And revealing truth to babes and sucklings, and to those who would probably, that these probably would probably avoid. And so, like the Pharisees, in John 7:49, the wise say within themselves, because the babes and the sucklings have not been taught like we have of the law, there's a curse upon them. These people who know not the law are cursed. While in reality, the curse is upon them. And so when God spoke through Isaiah 66:2 and said, to this man will I look. To this man will I look. One who trembles at my word, see. And the background, rich or poor, intelligent or ignorant, never appeared to be the issue, and it didn't seem to be the requirement. But rather, the real condition of the heart and man's attitude towards God's eternal word, these were the issues. To this man would I look, the one who trembles at my word. And so in Psalms 1, it tells us that God blesses those whose biggest delight is in his word. And you know what? After a while, you get to a place where you start to read the Bible, and you can't set it down until you've read, chapter after chapter. And so much, he said, those who delight, blessed are those who delight, whose biggest delight is in God's word. And so much so that they meditate on it day and night. See, the meditation on God's word would be the evidence of what you think of it. If you didn't delight in his word, you wouldn't meditate on it day and night. And the fact that you do meditate on it day and night is the evidence that you delight in it. Are you following me? And so it appears that when God finds a people like that he looks favorably upon them. See, God is a great creator, and as such, he has a right to favor those who like what he likes. Now, it says that Jacob he loved and Esau he hated. That don't make any sense. But God, who knows the future and knows what's in men's hearts, has a right to. He made us. He could get rid of all of us and throw us away forever if he wanted to. I mean, that's his. He made us. And when men fall in love with God's word, does that not also fall in love with God? Since the word was with God and the word was God, is that kind of the same? If you delight in God's word, don't you delight in God? And when men are willing to move out of unprofitable doctrines and receive a genuine love for God's truth, would that not cause God to say, well done, faithful children? If we move out of the unprofitable and move into that which is his word. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, God said, come out from among them. And of course some would say, God says, come out from among them. And some would say, come out from whatever our organization does not agree with. We have God. God, we have God in our organization. So whatever, anything that does not agree with what we have, come out from it. That's kind of what the Pharisees said. We are God's elite. We are doing what we're supposed to be doing. And this troublemaker is here. We got to get rid of him. And in their minds, they were doing the right thing. So when God said come out from among them, God had to mean come out from whatever is that I don't agree with. And so to set the picture straight, God carefully explains and shows men by means of his holy word what he thinks and what he does. The scriptures are the revelation and explanation of God's thoughts and his ways. When Jesus came, he presented God's thoughts. So the Gospels are the thoughts of God. In the setting in John 14:9, where Jesus said, when you see me, you see, you know, he was the expression of God. Three verses later, in verse 12, see John 14:12, he also said that those who believe in Christ will also do greater works than he did. It's in the same setting. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Three verses later he said, and those who believe in me will do these works and greater, because I go to the Father. And see, nothing within those verses tells us that Jesus was or is God, and yet preconceived theology causes men to draw conclusions based upon former images within men's minds. All the way back to the Catholic Church and to Constantine and some of these emperors, there was an image built. But the image that Jesus was a god was built by the Gentiles, when they did not come in through the Jews. And so the devil, which is the Antichrist, according to 1 John 4:3, painted an image in the minds of the Gentile church, so that the whole church world began to embrace an idea totally foreign to the Jewish church teaching. They were teaching, they were bringing something totally foreign. And so, the Jews were not looking for a God or for a God-man, but rather they were looking for a prophet like Moses or David. And so, since faith comes through hearing God's word, so does truth. Faith comes by hearing God's word, so does truth come by hearing God's word. Then we can say, through faith, we are led to understand that the only begotten Son of God is a man. Through faith we understand. Through faith we understand. Through faith we understand, because that's what the Bible says. And the reason is because an ongoing intake of God's word tells us, and that's what it says. And so, as a faith that comes by hearing is a mystery, or it is more of a Holy Spirit revelation that comes by hearing God's word. Okay. Got to take up my thoughts here. So is a faith that comes by hearing, is it a mystery, or is it a result of the word of God being brought in and revealed by the Holy Spirit? You see, faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of God. But what if you don't hear the word of God? Or what if you hear it falsely? You don't get faith. You got to hear it right in order to get faith. And so, while we're looking at it and we're saying, well, that is really a mystery. Faith comes by hearing. No, it's you know what? It's not as much of a mystery anymore, because we're beginning to understand that as we take in the word, the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us, and the mystery leaves us. And so, and so, because God's word is absolute truth, when it is revealed by the Holy Spirit, see, God's word is the basis for everything, forever and ever. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. It is a basis, a foundation for everything that has ever existed or ever will. I don't understand it. But do I? Do I have to? And so, God's word will never pass away. And so the Bible accurately called the word of God. See, a lot of people don't even know why they call the Bible the word of God. You have to start listening to it before you understand. But it will create faith in you so that you believe it. And so this Bible sits in building after building as the greatest evidence of anything that God really exists. The Bible is the greatest evidence we have. And yet, the vast majority who do read it with blind eyes and hear it with deaf ears. Most people who read it, their eyes are blind. They don't even know what they're reading. And so when Jesus kept saying, "He that has an ear," to each of the seven churches mentioned in Revelation, I think I'm beginning to get it. Understand, see? Keep listening, meditating to the eternal word of God over and over and over. And when your ears finally begin to open up, you will hear accurately what the Holy Spirit has been trying to reveal plainly to all of us for years. They meditate on it day and night. For how long? How long do you do that? Well, I've been doing it for 15 years, not as consistently as I should, but pretty good. And I'm gaining momentum. I have a greater respect and greater love for the Word of God, and I'm doing it more and more and more. So how long do you keep listening to God's Word? Well, I thought we would listen to it until we got into the place God wanted us to be. You know what? You listen to it until you die, for the simple reason that you will never come to the end of it. The revelations are always, there's always revelations right ahead of us. And so, as I have kept trying to say, as a Godhead is a great mystery, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So is every truth hidden within God's word. Everything within God's word is a mystery and can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit leader. And as such, in 1 Corinthians 2:12, it tells us that we have received the Holy Spirit sent from God so that we might freely know the things that were freely given to us. The Spirit was given to us so that we could freely know the things that God wants us to know. And the natural-minded thinker, in verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural-minded thinker will see the truth as foolish. So when you speak in tongues, you know, some of the things that we have been talking about, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Or some of these things, you know, that's a mystery. Not only a mystery, it's foolishness to the natural man. For centuries, those who hold their form of godliness, hand-me-down doctrines that are not scripturally based, have promoted an image of Christ as some kind of a deity. But since all of the scriptures reveal him as a man, son of God, then because of the dishonesty which is prevalent within men's lower nature, men have worked feverishly to try and make the scriptures fit their unscriptural concepts. Do you know why we have the concordances or the commentaries? Do you know why men use commentaries? Because they already think they know the truth. And they use these things to try to prove it. They try to use God's word to prove that what they believe is the truth. You know what the little babe and suckling does? Just the opposite. He looks to God to lead him through the Spirit into truth. God said, "I will lead you and guide you into all truth by the Holy Spirit." But the intellect says, "No, I already know the truth. What I need now is some commentaries that will help me to prove that what I believe is the truth. Community Chapel was no exception. Do you understand what I just said? And men have worked hard to make the scriptures confirm what they believe. And here's where a real problem arises. If men really had a love for the truth, because they received not a love for the truth, that they might be saved. See, salvation is hinged on receiving a love for the truth. So if you think you already have know the truth and you don't, and you're deceived, then your salvation is in jeopardy. Salvation is a lot different than what I ever thought. Receiving a love for the truth is part of my is means that I'm going to get it. So then, if people knew this, if they really had a love for the truth, they would never use God's word of truth to try and prove what they are trying to twist God's word into saying. And this is what people do. See, in order to be led by the Holy Spirit, men must set aside all hand-me-down ideas and let the word of God determine their doctrines. My doctrine has made an abrupt change. See, we have to set aside these things that we thought we knew. And a lot of people are not comfortable with it. And the reason is, well, you know what? If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. You know what? That's not true either. The devil is so subtle and so deceptive that he deceives high masses of people, huge masses of people, into thinking that what they believe is God's words of truth. He's a liar. He's deceptive. And of course, it is easier for me to see all of this having had a life-transforming experience, which I did. And as such, I can't judge anyone. And all you can do is pray for people. And there's people that I know and I think, how do they believe what they believe? How can they think that? They have no scriptural foundation for it. And of course, I mentioned, well, I'll say this after the message, but and God's will is for men to understand the things of the Spirit, which are faith-oriented. See, God's will is for men to understand the things of the Spirit. When we are born of the Spirit, we are supposed to begin to come into a new dimension. And the Word of God, what Jesus said, was Spirit and life. It will bring us into the new dimension. It requires God's Word to bring us into the place where we can think spiritually. And see, Jesus thought in the spirit realm. But see, in order to do all of this, it requires a right relationship with God's Word of Spirit and truth, which also requires an inward change from natural and unprofitable understanding over to understanding in the realms of the Spirit. That's lemon water. But since men go through such a subtle inward change, it is a great mystery to those who don't experience it, and may even be offensive and hard for friends and relatives to understand. See, if all old things pass away, and behold, all things become new, old acquaintances will be at a loss as to the new life that is developing. I thought years ago that what was happening to us was strange and weird. And now, come to find out, we hadn't heard anything yet.